Well, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
You made it in the cold today? I bet you, how many of you were hoping it'd be a snow day and you'd stay home? Aha! How many adults were hoping it'd be a snow day? Well, apparently, the left side over here, well, John's generally over here, but it looks a little, you're kind of lonely on this side, Ken. Yeah. Well, we're glad that you were able to make it on this cold, wintry morning. Praise God, the wind isn't blowing, right? And so what an opportunity for us to gather in this busy season of the year as we prepare spiritually for the celebration of our Lord's birth. And this date, a pretty significant date, right, historically, as we remember Pearl Harbor. Have you guys been hearing about Pearl Harbor, World War II? And so certainly brings back a lot of memories historically of this day. And Margaret Ann Hilst was sharing with me that her husband Will passed away on this day. And I think we figured 4 years ago, Margaret Ann. So those years continue to go by interesting. Yesterday, very significant date in our family, we have a new grandchild. So, little Ruth Madeline, born to our son LJ and his wife Chelsea out in California. So, Nana's just ready to go. You know, she's got to head west soon. So, but we praise God for the miracle of life and most of all for His love. And so we continue to follow this series through these midweek services, really picking up on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, Luther's great hymn from Heaven Above. And so we consider all the wonderful gifts that come to us from above. And last week it was hope. This week we focus on love. And so again, we follow the service. And I know this print's a little small. Has everybody been able to read it? Okay, I hope. All right. For future reference, that's good to know. And thank you, Ken, for playing. And we begin then with the opening hymn. And we gather this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Every good and perfect gift is from heaven above, coming down from the Father of lights. We gather to celebrate the good and the perfect gift of love.
For God so
to love the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, God's unfailing love will not be shaken, nor his covenant of peace be removed. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. And on this second Sunday of Advent, we light a second candle on the second Wednesday of Advent. We light a second candle and call it love. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. We call this candle love because God showed his love among us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. And let us confess our sins to our loving and gracious Heavenly Father. Love is patient, but we grow impatient. Love is kind, but we push and shove. Love does not envy, but we covet and demand. Love does not boast, but we are pompous and proud. Love keeps no record of wrongs, but we compute, calculate, catalog, and refuse to let it go. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. But our love is fickle, finite, and so frequently fails. Well, in light of all of this, the good news, I announce the grace of God to you, for in the name of Jesus, you have God's sure and certain unfailing love. Sin's debt, that fearful burden, cannot his love erase. Your guilt the Lord will pardon and cover by his grace. He comes for you procuring the peace of sin forgiven, his children thus securing eternal life in heaven. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Pray. O God of love, it is impossible for you to love us any more than you love us right now, and you will never, ever love us less. Your love in Christ meets our deepest needs and satisfies our most intense longings. Show us anew that your call to love others is not a burden, but a constant blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated.
Well, good morning to you. And by way of review, what was our word for last week? Anybody remember? Hope. What did that stand for? Hoping for something, right. Hope means having only positive expectations. Well, today we are introducing you guys to a new word. It's called love. Now, we're going to play a little game here to start off with. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a phrase and you tell me how it should finish. For example, if you open it, you close it, okay? That's how it's going to work. All right, here we go. Are we ready? Here's another saying that makes a lot of sense. If you turn it on, turn it off. Right. Try this one. If you move it, put it back. Okay? My wife tells me that a lot at home. If I move it, I should be putting it back. Yes. Okay, here's another one. Mr. Erickson hears a lot of this at home. If you mess it up, clean it up. Right. And here's one more. Okay. But this is a passage from Scripture. This is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to see if the adults can figure this one out. Let us love one another. Where does love come from? For love comes from God. Let's say that again. Okay, let's all join in together. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Okay? Does that make sense? Absolutely. And here we have our word, love. Love this week. Mrs. McClendon, you helped us last week, right? What's that one say for love?
Love others very eagerly.
Notice the first letter again. L, O, V, and E. Love others very eagerly. Okay? Why? Because this is exactly how God loves us. He is very eager to love us. Even when we open it and we forget to close it, God remembers and forgives us. Or, I know in school, when we turn on a light, we need to turn it off. Yeah. Our teachers are very bad at that. They go into the teacher's lounge, they turn the light on in the morning, and guess who has to turn it off after they've gone? Mr. Whitney, yes. Because there's little signs in their school building that says, turn off the lights, law, L-A-W, my initials, from years past. But that's okay. God still forgives you, and so do I, which is cool. Okay? And there are times, right, Mr. E, when we mess things up and we don't clean it up, Angela still forgives you, but more importantly, God forgives us too when we don't clean those things up either. God loves others very eagerly, and that includes all of us too. How eager was he to love us? Well, who did he send? Vince? He sent Jesus. For what purpose? To save us from our sins, are things that we mess up every single day in our lives. That's right. And that's how much God loved us, and he was eager to come and share with us. He sent Jesus. He died for our sins, and then he rose on that third day. And more importantly, he's coming again. And that's another way that we hear about the eager love that God has for us. Okay? Let's practice once again our Bible passage. Let us love one another. Repeat after me. Let us love one another. For love comes from God. And that's what we need to remember today. The gift of love that God sent to us. And that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. We thank you for the gift of love, the love that you sent to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And now, as his followers, as his disciples, help us to share that love with a world that so desperately needs it, especially this time during the Advent season. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his great love for us. And let us continue to share that love with others. In his precious and holy name, we ask it. Amen. We begin our scripture readings for this day, and our first reading from the Old Testament comes from Isaiah chapter 54, verses 7 through 10. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. This is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And this is the word of our Lord. The epistle reading for today is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. And in this section, we're reminded that God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. This too is the word of our Lord. And I would invite you now, if you're able, to stand as we honor our holy gospel for today. And that gospel reading comes from the Gospel of St. John, the third chapter, verses 13 through 17. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And this is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated as we continue now with our songs.
Well, you may want to come back here, Mr. Whitney, because the congregation is back here. So, Ken, come on down. I feel silly standing way up there this morning, so. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, don't you just love the readings for today and the epistle reading? I remember there was the kids' song that was made from this section of 1 John. And I'm not a great singer, so I'm not going to try to sing that song. But, you know, it starts out, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." And can anybody help me there? But it was really a pretty popular song for a while, catchy tune. But I'd like to reread this section again. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Now, in the translation that Larry read from, we hear the word propitiation, which is similar to atonement. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." And there ends that wonderful text. But in the theme we're following, it's talking about gifts. And this morning, of course, the gift of love. But the question that I would throw out to you is, how good a gift giver are you? Some are better than others, right, at giving gifts and kind of knowing, you know, what people would really appreciate, what kind of gifts they would like to receive. And have you ever heard this statement like, "Oh, you shouldn't have"? But maybe under the table and they're thinking, "Boy, I wish you wouldn't have." You know, it's like, this just isn't a gift that really does much for me. Or, "Wow, isn't this a surprise?" You know, and what's sad is sometimes we can tell, right, that they're sort of putting on a front. They want to be nice and act as though it's a surprise. Or this one, "Are you sure this is for me?" Or here's the embarrassing one, that you get an item of clothing for someone and their actual size is medium and you get them an extra large. Not good. And so, you know, some are very good at figuring out what others really like and the kind of gift they'd like to receive. And for some of us, maybe sometimes not so much. But if we're really honest with ourselves, we're probably not always the most gracious recipient of gifts, and we're probably not always skilled gift givers. But boy, there is one who is skilled at giving gifts, right? Perfectly skilled, and that's our loving God, and the greatest gift that could ever be given, the gift of love. And even with love, as we attempt to share love with others, that's not always received well either, right? Have you ever really tried to extend love to someone, and yet it wasn't received very well at all? Or maybe they twisted it thinking, you know, you intended something quite differently. But then there can also be circumstances where somebody gives you just a really awesome gift, and you didn't get them anything, right? But and you kind of feel bad, and it's like, "Oh, wow, I should have gotten them something. They were thinking of me and got me a gift." Or have you ever received a gift that's just so generous that you could have never imagined somebody giving you such a generous gift? In fact, so generous that you may even say to them, I just can't accept this. This is just overwhelming. I can't accept this from you. And then as you're watching, their demeanor, their character, their countenance just kind of falls. It's like they're greatly disappointed in your response. And in that, though, you see that they're really genuine in giving you that gift. And then that's probably the greatest gift of all, right? Knowing that they gave it to you. Why? Because they love you. And they didn't expect anything to be given to them in return, but they wanted you to have it. And really, isn't that, as Christians, the foundation of all of our gift giving, or should be? It's not so much about whatever the item is, but it's the motivation of love that's behind the giving of that item. And so then we think about God's love. And you know, until we are really overcome by the love of God, we are not really capable of loving others. In fact, our love is going to be shallow at best. And during this season of the year, a season of giving, we see a lot of unbelieving people that participate in the season and all the traditions with it, but it's a very shallow season, and it's a very shallow type of giving. In fact, in our current context, I think it's all more about getting, you know, than it is about giving, and so we see that shallow type of love that is expressed, but that shouldn't surprise us. Because apart from God's love and being overwhelmed with God's greatest gift, His Son, that can only be what our love would look like. We can't even understand what love is apart from God who loves us. And so really the essence of Christianity, and as John, inspired by God, expresses it here, is that it's not about us loving God or others. But the essence of Christianity is God loving us. I mean, that's foundational. That God would love us so much that He would be willing to give His Son as a sacrifice, which He did, as a propitiation. And literally what that word means is that Jesus paid the full price for all of our sin. So you know, the tag was given to Him, the ransom was given to Him, He paid it in full. That's part of what that word propitiation means. The other is that He met the demands of the law. And what are the demands of the law? Perfection, right? God, you know, every little I dotted, God doesn't overlook anything. And His law demands perfection, which is very harsh. But who fulfilled His law perfectly? Jesus. So He fulfilled it. He met the demands of the law. He paid the punishment for our lacking in making the demands of the law. And He says, here, this is my gift to you. And doesn't expect anything in return for us to receive it. But God gives it unconditionally. But boy, does that change the life of an individual? It's changed your life and mine. And so we rejoice and are overwhelmed with God's love. And so we heard in the reading, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us. And that empowers you and me then to be able to really love. And so we love, as we've heard in this text, well, it's later on in this chapter, actually. We love because, why? He first loved us. Yeah. Boy, I love the children's messages, the acronyms that go with love. But we love because He first loved us. And so that's what empowers you and me in this new person of faith within us to genuinely be able to express God's love to others. In fact, when you think about it, isn't that really what we're here on earth to do? How did Jesus sum up all of the commandments? With one word, it's love. It's agape love. It's sacrificial love. And so that's why we're here. Have you ever thought of life that way? I mean, you wake up in the morning sometimes, maybe think, wow, what's the purpose of this day? Or what's the purpose of my life today? It's very simple. God says, I have a plan for you to extend my love to others. Dean. Yeah. Yeah.
I just couldn't believe that somebody would do that. And she, I said, thank you, sweetheart. Unbelievable. Huh. And I have thanked God for that woman every night since.
Isn't that incredible, Dean? I mean, look at that. And you have, and you're still thinking about that and sharing that today. And you'll probably never forget that. Yeah. And thank you for your service, too, by the way. Yeah. And what a way for her to express that.
Yes. She had a son there. He came up and said, thank you.
Yeah, you know, Sunday, we had a prayer. Somebody had, maybe it was one of you here, that had sent in a prayer request remembering this date and Pearl Harbor. And after church, a veteran walked out of church as I was greeting people and asked me, you know, I wonder if our young kids, like the kids here this morning, if they even know what Pearl Harbor is. And I thought, wow, you know, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, I wonder if they're really learning that history today. But thanks for sharing that, Dean. Yeah, there's an overwhelming. And her act of kindness, very simple in some ways. And yet, look how that affected your life. Just that one act of love. And think how empowering that is for all of us to be able to do similar things, even for complete strangers. One that I have to share, and it happened many years ago, and I think I've maybe shared it in sermons before, but I was maybe a freshman in high school, and we were driving on Highway 71, 14. We had a Mercury Marquis at the time, and anyway, it was fairly late in the evening. My brother, the brother next to me in age, 4 years older, was headed home from Germany. He had been serving in the military, and he just got out, was coming home back to the farm. But he was getting in after midnight at Stapleton at the time. And so we're going over to pick him up. Well, this car had been given trouble. And so there we are, remote 71, stranded. But there was a ranch home within a quarter of a mile or something. The rancher got us going again. Well, then we get to Denver. And I'll never forget, it was under one of the 270 bridges, and maybe if Quebec goes under there, because usually we'd go on Quebec, I remember as a kid. But anyway, it's like after midnight, and the car quits again. And here I am, this little farm kid, you know, terrified. Here we are in this big city, it's dark, it's in an industrial area, and I think we're all going to get killed, you know. And here this guy pulls up in an old clunker car, and he really looked rough around the edges. And he said, well, I tell you what, why don't you all get in the car? I'll take you to Stapleton, drop you off there, and then my dad and him would go and try to find a battery. And back then, there were no stores, you know, open all night long. And so we all get in the car, and he ends up on I-70 headed west. And it's like, wait a minute, that is not the way to the airport. And again, I think I'm going to die, you know. And my dad said, you know, the airport's the other direction. And this guy goes, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I just moved to Denver. And I don't know my way around yet. I'm glad you let me know. So he took the next exit, turned around, dropped us all off. But do you know that he spent probably 2 hours with my dad? He went to his place. He had another car that had a battery issue. Had another battery similar. Just gave my dad the battery. Helped him get it back in the car. Helped him get the car going. I bet it was 3 a.m. by the time he got done with that. But, you know, that's the way love works, isn't it? And see, I'm still talking about that story still to this day. And those are, Dean's account and mine are just 2 accounts. And think how many opportunities we have every day just by a simple act of God's love to do something that somebody's going to remember the rest of their life. But that's how God's love works. In fact, you know, you think of in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I always call it the great love chapter. It's used in weddings a lot of times. But remember faith, hope, and love? And the greatest of these is what? Love. And think about it. Faith, how long does faith last? Now think about that. Yeah, Pastor John said when we get to heaven, because what is faith? It's trusting in what we cannot see. So when we're in heaven, we're going to see everything, right? So faith will no longer be necessary. We'll be there. How about hope? Hope is longing for what we cannot see, right? It's for the things that are still remain unfulfilled in our lives. But when we get to heaven, will we have everything? Everything's going to be fulfilled. Yeah. But what about love? Does love cease in heaven? No. Love goes on for eternity. In fact, in this text, in 1 John, God is love. So that's God's very character. We dwell with God for eternity in glory. We dwell with love in love, and love is everlasting. So what an incredible gift. And so I want you to think about that. Every time you're in the presence of other people, even complete strangers like Dean and this woman at the restaurant, or our family and the guy under the 270 bridge, you never know where God is going to give us the opportunity to really affect another person's life in a very positive way. And that makes every day quite an adventure, doesn't it? Well, may God bless you and me, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that as we continue our journey of faith on this earth, that we are overwhelmed daily by God's love for us, that we may then share it. Peggy. Yeah, the pay it forward. And by the way, is it like we've just got this little storehouse of love, and when it's used up, then we're out of resource? Isn't it wonderful to just keep giving something that never runs out? Yeah. So pay it forward in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I would invite everyone to stand for prayer. And notice in the bulletins again this morning, there is a response that the congregation has, and it's live through us. And so let us pray. O God of all love, help us to love our families by extending grace instead of holding grudges, by caring instead of being overly critical, and by expressing great delight instead of bombarding them with our selfish demands. Let your love for us live through us. O God of all love, empower us to love our sisters and brothers in Christ by being more humble instead of haughty, by being more compassionate instead of callous, and by being more forgiving instead of focusing on their faults. Let your love for us live through us. And God of all love, empower us to love the world by showing them more of Jesus and less of our judgment, by showing them more patience and less of our pretense, and by showing them more comfort and less of our unloving condemnation. Let your love for us live through us. O God of all love, empower us to love our enemies by rejecting revenge and choosing redemption, by rejecting accusation and choosing restoration, and by rejecting hatred and choosing your pathway to hope and healing. Let your love for us live through us. And Lord, today we hold up to you a number of people. Don Roth, as he recovers from shoulder surgery earlier this week. And for Shirley Gattikin, as she recovers from knee replacement surgery that was done yesterday. Oh Lord, for Pastor Buddy, as he continues to recover from procedures done a couple weeks ago. Lord, we just rejoice and give thanks for the blessings to our family of this precious new granddaughter. And Lord, be with LJ and Chelsea as they are parents for the first time, and give them your counsel and wisdom in raising this child. Oh Lord, on this day, in the midst of the joy, we also remember Margaret Ann and still grieving the loss of her husband, Will, who died 4 years ago on this day. And Lord, we certainly remember the grief of this day many years ago when Pearl Harbor was attacked and all the lives that were lost. And Lord, still those who are alive that were there and remember the horrifying day that that was. Lord, continue to be with them and with all the families of the victims that died on that tragic day. Lord, may we always recognize our veterans, and we thank you, Lord, for the person that reached out to Dean at the restaurant. What an affirmation of love and appreciation, too, for our veterans and their service and the freedom that we are blessed to still enjoy today because of so many willing to give their lives. Oh Lord, we thank you that you work through us as we are overwhelmed by your love, that we are empowered to love others. Let your love for us live through us. Oh God of all love, you so loved the world that you gave us Jesus, and with him we have your unfailing love, your permanent and perpetual love. Let your love for us live through us. And dear Jesus, how blessed and honored we are through the gift of your love to also receive the gift of a perfect prayer, that we are honored as your family to pray often together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may you grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And may the blessing of the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forevermore. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Thank you.
Is there another melody for this one? What we're going to do today, usually I didn't check that. They have very familiar hymns in this series, but that one, let's speak it. We do that. The angel Gabriel from heaven came, his wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame. All hail, said he, thou lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, Gloria. For know a blessed mother thou shalt be, all generations laud and honor thee. Thy son shall be Emmanuel, by seers foretold, most highly favored lady, Gloria. Then gentle Mary meekly bowed her head. To me be as it pleaseth God, she said. My soul shall laud and magnify his holy name, most highly favored lady, Gloria. Of her, Emmanuel, the Christ, was born in Bethlehem, all on a Christmas morn, and Christian folk throughout the world will ever say, most highly favored lady, Gloria. Beautiful words, yeah. Well, let us pray the common table prayer, and we hope everybody can stay in this warm place for lunch. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Go in God's peace.